If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Well, how was your Thanksgiving weekend? I hope it was good. I had a great one. I will say this. I had two adults and four children staying in my house with me. So that was an experience. Because I'm old and I'm not used to all that chaos and noise, but it was one of those. I was never so glad to see them come and never so glad to see them go. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in. Jack Lancaster is with me as
good
well.
Good morning,
Jack.
Sir.
You had little kids stay with you before?
Yes. Yeah, my wife's brother's family.
It's a challenge.
Yeah. The baby would not sleep and was crying all night long.
Yeah, we had some of that, yeah.
So the next morning, when the baby finally went to sleep, I told the baby's mother, I says, I'm going to go in and wake her up. Why? Because she kept me up
she
all night. I'm going to keep her up all day.
Well, my son has two sets of twins. The older two are four, but the younger two are just, 16 months.
Oh, my
or
gosh,
something.
Two sets of twins?
And the younger two kept waking each other up, crying all night long. I think that was Friday night and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And we were halfway across the house from them, but we could still hear
it. Oh, yeah, yeah. You probably sleep in a really quiet house. You don't have, artificial noise.
Yeah, no, we're normally empty nesters. And, sometimes we'll leave the fan on in the bathroom to give that kind of white noise. But mostly it's just really quiet. And we don't have neighbors with barking dogs. We have a quiet place, so it was weird.
Yeah. You can hear every little thing.
Now, I'm not complaining because I loved having my son and his wife and kids stay with us. And it was a wonderful experience to be with them and have the holidays with them. But it was different. Mm-hmm. Something we were not used to.
Yeah. So, but it's nice, like you said, nice to see him coming. And it's not, where do they live?
In Taylorsville.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. My other son lives also, and they live two blocks apart.
Oh.
He has one child, but his child is very, very mellow.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Mo, but she's very chill. She's just like this happiest, and she's a little older. She's like two now or something. Uh-huh. So
yeah.
But that was a good experience. How was your Thanksgiving?
It's good. It's good. Yeah.
Did you do anything fun?
Just ate and passed out on the recliner.
Did you
in
have
front of the TV?
Traditional American Thanksgiving, or was it?
It was American. My brother-in-law was going to come down from Salt Lake, and the last minute he couldn't make it. He was bringing the turkey. So we ended up with I made a sirloin roast on the Traeger.
Oh, nice!
And then my mother-in-law made a ham, and that was really good. So we did okay.
Well, my daughter-in-law made the turkey, so I was going to smoke a turkey, but I was told no, and so I smoked a ham like pulled pork, so it was a pulled ham.
Ah.
And then when I glazed it, I used a raspberry chipotle glaze.
Ooh,
and it was
that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was really good. In fact, I felt guilty every time somebody's, "Oh, your ham is so good." I felt guilty because they weren't complimenting the turkey.
But, I warned you; I could have done the turkey too.
I could have, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, but a good holiday weekend, and just kind of nice to not think about work or.
Uh-huh.
Anything and of course that wasn't the case for you. You own a retail establishment here in town.
Yeah,
you were
very busy.
Busy man.
Friday and Saturday. Yep.
Yeah. Is it hard on a holiday weekend when okay, I'm the owner, so it's not like I can go, we'll let somebody else handle. I mean, you're the owner. It's up
to
you.
Yeah, I went in and worked both days and for the full day. So
wow,
it was fine. I expect it. I mean, that's what we do on those types of weekends. We got another one coming up the week between Christmas and New Year's. And then President's Day is our biggest weekend of the year.
For those that are wondering, Christmas is on a Wednesday this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's going to be a big weekend.
It's kind of a weird schedule, as they say across the pond, because you have Wednesday is Christmas. Of course, Tuesday is Christmas Eve. And then you have Thursday, Friday, a regular work week, sort of. And then Monday and Tuesday. And then you have New Year's.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it all gets a little strange. I actually have some vacation days, and unfortunately our current company, it's lose it or use it on vacation days.
Use it or lose it.
Use it or lose it, yeah. Yeah.
So everybody's taking the whole month off,
And so, well, I have like 40 hours. I got to take that. So I'm going to basically take from Christmas to the new year. I'm not going to work. So.
Wow.
I actually I love my job. I love doing it.
Remember, did you work with Cherry Creek here when they used to close the company between Christmas and New Year's?
Yeah, I do. I remember that. That was nice. Yeah. That was nice.
Unfortunately, as a salesman, I had to come in and work because that's when I got all my new annual contracts for the next year.
That's true. Yeah.
So that really didn't work for me.
Like I said, I love my job, and I don't like the idea of not working, but I also don't like the idea of carrying vacation days into the new year and having them just cancel them.
That's cool. My time, man.
Yeah.
At least they could just pay you for it.
I have worked at other companies, and my wife currently works for a company that if you have vacation day, you can carry over a few, and then if you have beyond that, they'll just write you a check for whatever you didn't use.
Right.
It's like, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
A little Christmas bonus. But
nice.
Yeah, well.
So what's going on, man?
Well, let's talk a little bit about a bunch of things going on. Let's go headlines first. Some of the things making news today. First of all, in sports, sort of, San Jose State lost in the Mountain West Conference Volleyball Championship to Colorado State. Why am I giving a volleyball score on this show? Well, if you'll remember, San Jose State is the team that plays with a transgender player on their team, a person named Blair Fleming, who spikes the ball approximately 80 to 100 miles an hour when the average women's spike is 55 miles an hour. But they lost, though. And so the reportedly the controversy will be over that they have a transgender on their team.
Player graduating or not coming back next year for whatever reason?
I think she's a senior. So they're out. But it's funny because so in the semifinals they were supposed to play Boise State.
Right.
Boise State said we're not playing you.
Yeah.
They beat Utah State to earn a trip to the semis, and then instead of playing San Jose State, they said, no, we'd rather forfeit, even in the tournament, than play a team with a male player.
Right.
There was some awkwardness at the end of that. Okay, so Colorado State won. When it's over, you know, they're celebrating. On the other side, San Jose State did this little team hug. In the team hug was one of their best players, Blake Susser. She's a girl, a real girl. And this Blair Fleming person, who's a transgender. Now, Blake is part of the lawsuit against the Mountain West Conference and San Jose State University, saying they should not allow a transgender player on a women's team. Her own teammate is part of the lawsuit. They were there for their little group hug after they lost, and I saw some video of it, and I'm like, it seems like that would be a little strange, a little awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
So, any thoughts on all this, Jack?
I give high fives to the teams that had the moral courage to forfeit.
Boise State,
you know,
Utah State, SUU,
yeah. And I think Nevada, at Reno, and good for them because I think that's gonna set up that so that hopefully we can get past this where they allow young men playing in women's sports. I think this is just the. This is just the dumbest thing in the whole world.
I think so.
I mean, it's right up there. It's in the top five of dumbest things in the whole world.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You praise them for having the courage to number one, to take a forfeit, and number two, of course, praise them to having the courage to file a lawsuit. It is courageous, but at the same time, it is, well, duh. Like where are all the people fighting for women's rights? Like, this should be a no-brainer.
I don't know. It's a mind virus. It truly is. It's I've heard it described as a mass psychosis, where everybody plays into this to this psychosis that this poor individual is suffering from, and everybody's playing along. It's You know, I've heard it described as a man who puts on woman face, like somebody might insult black people by wearing blackface. This is a man putting on woman face.
I agree.
You know, it's a mockery of womanhood, if you will.
If you know, we have people that get angry about culture appropriation. You know, if you dress like a Native American, that's cultural, you know,
appropriation. Yeah.
If you dress in a Chinese outfit or if you put blackface on, or I mean, all these things that people are so offended and upset by. And here we have not just dressing up like, but actually trying to become a woman.
Well, I'm probably doing the locker room thing as well.
Yeah. And yet, you know, it's okay. They're like, yeah, it's fine. I don't get it.
I don't get it. It doesn't compute in my brain.
Yeah.
And I've had this idea that maybe some of this comes from this generation of kids that are now in high school and college and whatnot. They were raised in an era where you got participation trophies and everybody made the team.
Yeah.
But when you and I were coming up, everybody didn't make the team.
No.
I tried out for high school basketball every year, and I didn't make it.
Yeah.
You know, I love playing basketball. It's one of my favorite things in the world to do. But I didn't make the team. I wasn't good enough. It never occurred to me to put on a wig and try out for the girls' team.
Yeah.
You know.
When I was out in Pennsylvania as a missionary, I was a pretty good tennis player. Not like state championship good, but a decent player.
Uh-huh.
I had the opportunity to play the number one ranked girl in the state of Pennsylvania in tennis. I beat her 6-0, 6-1. Uh-huh. Two sets we played. Yeah. And it was, I hit the ball way harder. Yeah. I was faster. I don't say this to brag to how good I was, because I was good, but I wasn't great.
Yeah.
I say this because I'm a guy, she's a girl. There's a big difference between that.
Right. Well, there's a reason there's another category for female sports.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, the Title IX thing was a good thing for female sports, and it should be defined to say this is for females only, you know, these sports, if you want our federal dollars, I guess. But who knows?
By the way, there were exactly two protesters protesting this transgender person in the Mountain West Conference Championship, too.
Uh-huh.
Which, again, I mean, we're sitting there going, okay, this is messed up, and where are all the women's rights people? And there were two protesters that protested it. That's it.
Well, you know, the right side of the political spectrum isn't one to do a lot of protesting, and it's difficult to protest against an individual. It's easier to protest against some kind of institution or government, if you will. You could protest the institution for allowing it to happen, I guess you could say that.
And I don't believe that. I don't have anything personal against this person, but I think the whole idea of a transgender participating in women's sports is, the whole idea is wrong. Not just Blair Fleming, but
it should be a protest against the NCAA or whoever the governing body is.
Yeah, Mountain West Conference. That's what the lawsuit is
right.
named.
Yeah.
So. I just don't get it.
We live in a strange world, my friend.
Yes, we do. Hopefully things will get a little more sane. I saw a cartoon on social media yesterday that said, hey, Mom, why is everybody talking about January 20th? What's the big deal? And she's like, well, that's when our genders return to just two, honey, male and female. That, of course, Trump's inauguration. Speaking of Trump, I know Jack is a real energy guy. I'm just going to play 1 minute of this talk from Donald Trump on his website about energy. Listen to this.
If America is going to dominate the world in manufacturing once again, as it did when I was running things, you remember when they used to say you can't have manufacturing jobs in our country anymore? I said, really, why? And we created hundreds of thousands of them. But we must be the most affordable energy and electricity place anywhere on the planet. We have to have affordable energy. Right now we have energy that's weak, substandard, and unaffordable. It's made by the wind. The windmills rust, they rot, they kill the birds. It's the most expensive energy there is. And we have other things that are also no good. It's called the Green New Deal. I call it the Green New Hoax.
There we go, the Green New Hoax. I'm with Donald Trump on this one. I believe that we should have the cheapest energy in the world. We have oil, we have coal, we have natural gas. We have all these things. Plus, technologically, we are on the cutting edge. We, you know, nuclear energy should be at the forefront of what we're doing. And yet, everything Joe Biden has done the last 4 years almost has been to handicap that.
Yeah, and it's not just Joe. It's the whole left. You know, they've bought into the whole Green New Deal thing. They've bought into the idea that CO2 is changing our planet on a big scale, but there's no definitive, because the sun is going through a grand solar maximum right now, and there's so many other factors. Again, we talked about this before. Before the Industrial Revolution, how much CO2 do you believe is in the? Do you know that's in the atmosphere? And what is it as a percentage? You know, would you guess?
I don't know.
It's 0.00.
Not very much. 4%.
It's 400 parts per million.
Not very much was what I was going to say, but it's less than not very much.
So really, it's four people in a stadium of 100,000.
Right.
And it used to be two people in a stadium of 100,000 before. Now it's 400. Now it's four. So that's the difference. And, you know, double nothing is almost nothing is still almost nothing.
Yeah.
Right? And but they're saying that this is now, you know, the highest it's ever been. That's not true. The planet has had much higher CO2 levels in the past. It's been much warmer in the past. It's been colder in the past. We're in a interglacial period. We're still in an ice age. And we're in an interglacial period. But the problem is people believe the nonsense, and they believe it for two reasons. One is there are some people who believe it because they're scared into believing it, and they say, "Oh, we must do something. We got to get rid of all the, you know, all the cars, all this carbon, all the dirty carbon." And then there's other people that are saying, "Well, I kind of get the idea. I think this is the Al Gore types, but you know, I make a lot of money off this thing, man.
Yeah,
you know, these a lot of people, you know, these this new industry, this new solar power business I'm going into, you know." Never mind that it takes up 10,000 acres, you know, out in the desert. I guess what you're going to do with the desert anyway, but Trump's right. These solar wind farms, they're horrible. And the oceans are killing they're causing the whales to beach themselves out here. They're hitting the eagles and the hawks. And you know, that's a federal offense. They have to pay a fine for every eagle or hawk they kill, by the way. And they have to get an exemption to actually put those things up, cuz it kills those raptors so much. And bats. And you know, anyway, I could go on and on and on. You know me.
I don't mind this.
But it's finally so refreshing that we're going to get some sanity into this conversation. You know, I've got a nephew that works at the power plant up in Delta, and they send all their electricity to California. So they're being currently they're being fired by coal. They're converting to natural gas. Now the natural gas is compared to coal. Is going to cost about twice as much money, and they're going to produce half the power. Now half of the power. Now some of the power. There's a wind farm up there that they have to send wind. That have to send electricity to when the wind's not blowing. The wind farm is a net positive by a fraction, between the electricity they have to send it to keep it going when the wind's not blowing, which is in the wintertime, like right now when it's been still for like months, right?
Yeah, we got nothing.
You know. And then now they're taking another part of that energy and they're using it to crack water or to electrolyze water and create hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Get this. This is California. So California will only take, after a certain time in the future, a certain date, they won't take the natural gas power anymore. They will only take hydrogen power. But in order to get the energy to make the hydrogen from water, you have to crack water, and then they're going to burn the hydrogen. Which is less efficient than just burning the natural gas.
Right.
But that's where California is. They want to have hydrogen power.
It's about perception, I guess.
I don't know what it is. It's not reality. It's not conservation. It's like nobody taught these people conservation of energy. It's like you don't understand. It costs energy to make hydrogen that you're not going to turn back into water from water. And you're going to turn it back into water by burning it. But in the process, it's costing you more energy than you get out of it by burning the hydrogen.
Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense.
I'm so glad I don't live in California. I'm really, you know.
So,
it's so like whenever I see a California plate, you know, please have luggage in your car. Come here, spend your money, go home. Do not come here and bring your politics. unless you're on the right side.
So the Joe Biden administration has approved a $6.6 billion loan from the U.S. Department of Energy's Advanced Technology Vehicle Manufacturing Program and given it to Rivian Motor Company.
Uh-huh.
Rivian has reportedly been leaking financially millions of dollars over the last, 2 years or 3 years or whatever it's been open, because nobody wants to buy their Rivian electric trucks.
Yeah.
So the Joe Biden administration says, all right, here's $6 billion, build a plant. Now, the one good thing, I guess, is they're building the plant in Georgia, so it's an American plant. Okay. It'll employ American workers. But when did the federal government start bailing companies
well,
out?
Well, they did that. Remember Chrysler and
yeah, GM. But Rivian, really?
Well, it's not just the car companies. I mean, what did was Solyndra? Who was that? Obama? You know?
Yeah.
If you're a big enough company, if you got the right friends, you can get our people's money. Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to Elon and Vivek's new
Doge Department of Government.
I think that kind of stuff should just go away. You know, the government shouldn't be subsidizing businesses.
Heavens no.
I mean, Trump's got it right. You know, cut taxes, cut regulation, make energy affordable, and do all you can. Drill, baby, drill. Just do everything, right? And the Canadians, man, are they scared.
We should never, ever be buying oil from anyone else when we have that oil right here in America, that enough oil we will ever need here in America.
Yeah.
And yet have you seen the pictures of the gold-plated Rolls Royces in Dubai?
Right. But if you include Canada and North America into this equation of going outside of that sphere, there's no way. We've got so much more than we need.
Yeah.
And
they talk about renewable. I was thinking about this today. Renewable energy. That's a word. That's a catchphrase I like to use for wind farms and solar and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, maybe oil isn't what they would term renewable, but when's it going to run out? Like, ever?
It will eventually run out. I mean, nature makes it at some point. I mean, we do have to get off the oil standard. I mean, as far as generating electricity for homes, we should be going to nuclear. We should be doing a lot of other things than we're doing now, but
not wind and solar.
Not wind and solar. Like I said, I hate when I drive to Las Vegas. We used to drive when I was a kid, and there's that coal-fired power plant just outside of Glendale, and it put up the smoke and the steam. You know, and I remember watching that. And now they tore that thing completely down. Now you've got just acres and acres and acres and acres of solar panels.
Yeah.
Now I guess that's fine. It's a desert. You're not going to do anything out there. I mean, they ran a few cattle. I guess there's a couple of desert tortoises. You know, big deal. But it's a desert. It's a good place to put it. So why not, right?
Okay.
You're not going to develop it. You're not. It's all BLM land. You know. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I do know.
What do we know?
I do know we need to get away.
I just know that when we had that election, a big old weight came off my back and my head and my brain and my soul.
He's Jack. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, good morning to you, 935 on KDXU. Just got a text from somebody, and I thought I would read it on the air because it's pretty good. Okay. Actually sent me a second one. They're both kind of funny.
Oh, okay.
All right, first one. First of all, we really have to quit taking energy and other economic advice from those who lack the simple common sense of knowing what a boy is and a girl is. That simple, God-given basic understanding is lacking, so we can't expect them to have the first clue about energy or economics.
Yeah.
That was the first
text. That's a good one.
Here's the second one. In the world of the left, cow flatulence is going to destroy the planet. Chocolate milk comes from the brown ones. Boys can be girls. Girls can be boys as long as they want to just say so. And electricity just comes from the little plug in the wall, kind of like how the food just comes from the grocery store and not the farmers.
You know, somebody made a really good point about the cow flatulence. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. There's a population of cows in our country right now. I don't know how many millions it is, but it's millions, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. between dairy herds and beef herds, right?
Yeah.
Well, how many bison were living on the Great Plains before the white man showed up?
Millions.
Millions upon millions, yeah. at least as many as there is now. And why wasn't that a problem then? And why is it all of a sudden a problem now?
And then maybe
I don't know.
Either.
But he's got a good point. You know, cow flatulence. Methane. Think about methane is it doesn't last very long in the atmosphere. It gets broken down by the oxygen and the sunlight and the UV rays. So it only lasts like a year or two. Yeah. CO2 lasts a long time. CO2 lasts a long time until it gets absorbed. But you know the earth is greening because of the CO2? Because it's plant food. Carbon dioxide is a plant food. And so the earth is actually greening now more than it has in like since we're being able to measure it. There's more green leaf, and there's a NASA website you can look at, the greening of the earth, where they've charted all that.
I have a relative, not going to say how close they are, but I have a relative who is very liberal, and she, I will identify her gender, although maybe it's a she, her, they, them, him, what, I don't know. Anyway, she put a post up yesterday, I think it was yesterday, day before yesterday, that said, and this kind of ticked me off. It said, when I was in sixth grade biology, I learned that there are two genders. And then when I went to college and majored in biology, I learned that certain people are born with the characteristics of both genders. And then when I went and got my master's in neuroscience, I learned that gender is actually, what was the word they used? I can't remember. It was some to the effect of gender is a
spectrum
construct of societal norms and partially biology. And therefore, if you really believe there are only two genders, then you're no smarter than a sixth grader. And I was like,
and neither are you.
All righty then. Apparently, she just called everyone who is right of the aisle an idiot.
So a lot of these folks will use the term gender differently than we would use the word sex in describing a male and female. And so they'll say gender is this construct, but sex is different. So and so what they've done is they've changed the definition, which they like to do. The left likes to change the definition of words.
All the time.
So so what she's saying is that a male and female roles in society are constructs of the society. I can kind of agree with that. But they are based on reality. They are based on the reality of what our bodies are different, the reality that males don't have babies, the reality that males are bigger and stronger, generally speaking, than most females.
Yeah,
that our brains are wired differently, that we think differently. Anybody that's ever been in a relationship with a woman that's a man or vice versa knows that we think differently.
Yes, we do.
You know, so yes, it's an obvious thing. But the roles that society has males and females play can change over time. In my mother and father's era, my mother going off and getting a job and helping support the family was unheard of.
Yeah, you didn't do that.
Yep. But now it's accepted. You know, today it's an accepted thing, and so we can understand that they're going to have this idea that they're going to use the term gender, meaning for you and I, for the sixth graders, education types, it's the roles that the male and female play in society, and then how they perceive themselves, which is they can tap into this mass delusion. And you know, be part of their group when they're impressionable young people, but then the idea of being a separate sex. So if you want to respond to your relative, tell her, I says, well, is there more than two sexes?
Well, and the middle part of that was, well, there are people born with characteristics of both sexes, and I was like, you know what the percentage of someone who they call them hermaphrodite, someone mm-hmm. that has the characteristic of both sexes, you know what the percentage of that is in America? Yeah, it's like 0.001%.
Yeah, it's tiny.
Yeah, they're. Yeah. I mean, to the point where, you know, America has what, 400 million people, 340 million people, and there are like 100 of them or
if
something.
That, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. All right, we'll get off of that for a minute. This somebody texted about this, and so I'm going to read this story straight from the wire here, and we'll get Jack's reaction to it. President Biden is granting a pardon to his son, Hunter Biden said in a statement Sunday that no reasonable person who looked at the facts in Hunter's cases can reach a conclusion that he wasn't singled out for being his son. He added that there was an effort to break Hunter, which in turn meant trying to break the president, and that there was no reason to believe it will stop here. The news comes as President Biden has said previously he would not use his authority to pardon or commute Hunter's sentence for his conviction on federal gun charges. So two things there. Number one, he went exactly against what he said he was going to do.
Right.
And number two, he's justifying it by saying, well, the reason I'm doing that is they singled him out because he's my son, not because he's a bad guy and was a druggie and all this stuff.
And not because a jury of his peers convicted him, and probably a very liberal state, very liberal jury pool, probably in front of a liberal judge. You know, who knows? I'm not surprised.
Not surprised either.
I'm surprised that he would actually go on record and say that he wouldn't do it as many times as he did.
He said it over and over and over again.
And his press secretary person did the same thing over and over again and did it with such attitude that how dare you ask us that question. Of course he's not going to do that.
Right, yeah, you know? Almost like you're stupid for even asking me.
Yeah,
He's not going to do that.
So, you know, it doesn't surprise me that he did it, to me, to be honest with you. So I don't care. You know, this world that we live in is just so weird. You know, everybody's taken, not everybody, but the one side is taking political shots at the other side, trying to derail. You ever listen to Victor Davis Hanson?
No.
You should. The guy is brilliant. He's part of the group out of, he's works as a professor at Stanford. Anyway, he's an intellectual and he's smart. He says, you know, a guy like Trump.
Wait, a guy from Stanford is...
Oh, he's part of the Hoover Institution.
Right-leaning?
Hoover Institution.
Nice.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow.
And he says, you know, a guy like Trump, he's been persecuted by the Justice Department. They've tried to get him off the ballot in 15 states. He's been assassinated, attempted twice, came like a half an inch from being murdered.
Yeah.
And another time, 2 weeks later, left wing people were behind those attacks. He's had so many things thrown at him, lawsuits, all these things, and it's not lawfare, you know? So anybody persevered, and not only that, he not only won, he forced the President of the United States to stop his reelection campaign because he murdered him in a debate.
Yeah.
Okay? And then he took out the runner-up, if you will, and it was a landslide victory. He got the most votes that any other president did since George W. Bush after 9/11, which is understandable, in 2004. So this guy's a force to be reckoned with, and he didn't quit. How many people would have just thrown their hands in the air and says, I'm done.
It ain't worth
it. I don't need this.
Yeah.
I'm a billionaire. I can go live on my yacht in the Mediterranean. What do I'm doing? What am I doing this for? You know? So it's amazing that this guy, that we are, I'm gonna go out and say this. I think we are blessed now that we have finally got somebody who cares about what is good for America. That is just the bottom line. I really believe that the Democrat, the left side of the party, the left-leaning people, only care about what their personal agendas are, not what's best for the good for the rest of the country as a whole. Yeah. Not good economics, not good morals, not good health for our families, you know, anything. You put it down the line. The Green New Deal is not good for the environment, because it forces people into poverty, and people in poverty do not do things that are good for the environment.
Right.
Just look at the difference between Haiti and Dominican Republic. There's no trees in Haiti because they're so poor they have to burn trees. You can look on a map, and you can look at that island, and you can see where the international line is, and on the Haiti side there's no trees, and on the Dominican Republic side there's lots of trees.
Wow.
It's because the Haitians burn trees for wood because they got nothing else to cook with. Because they're so screwed up over there, they can't bring in oil or gas or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All on the same island.
Yeah. It's black and white. It's night and day. Hmm. You know, you can see the difference.
We'll have to do some Google Earth looking on that.
Yeah, let's do it.
So
let's do it.
All right. We'll get another break in. Jack Lancaster on the Andy Griffin Show. It is the Monday after Thanksgiving, and I don't know. Did you gain weight? I gained like 2 pounds.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to talk about that part.
We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 950 on KDXU. We're going to talk for just a minute about, so Australia is passing this interesting ban on social media for children under the age of 16. On Thursday, I'm going to read the rest of the story. On Thursday, the country's Senate overwhelmingly voted to pass the ban, which will take at least a year to go in effect. The ban could see companies banned up to $50 million Australian if they fail to prevent children from having accounts. It's the latest effort from politicians worldwide to regulate children's social media use as concerns about its negative impact on mental health continue to grow. This is a weird thing. So I kind of use a Twinkie example. We know Twinkies are bad for us. We know they're full of artificial preservatives and they're wrapped in plastic and they're everything about a Twinkie is bad for you. And yet, Twinkies, number one selling pastry in America.
Mm-hmm.
Prepackaged pastry in America. So when you go to social media, we know there have been study after study after study that have shown that social media for children under the age of 16 is very bad for them. It ruins their development. It causes anxiety and depression. All these things happen to kids when they're on social media. And Australia's trying to ban it, but I don't know that we have the guts to do that in America, because it's like the Twinkies, man. We know it's bad for us, but we want it.
I thought we were close to doing a TikTok ban.
Well, yeah, but that, I mean, there's some political things with China and all that stuff with that one.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised that Australia did this.
Yeah, imagine trying to ban Instagram the U.S.
Yeah. Good for Australia. Normally, they're on the left side of stuff, especially during COVID. They were really bad.
But there's some recognition now that we know that really does harm children.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've known that. Why can't we do something about that?
I imagine it'll come here eventually. Yeah. I do. It'll be like anything, you know, you have to be an adult to participate in it, like drinking or smoking or whatever.
Really?
You know? Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think it'll be right up there. And you could see it come out of the Trump administration with maybe RFK Jr., you know, if he gets... that. Who knows?
Gets confirmed.
I agree that it is dangerous for kids and that it distorts their reality.
Won't they just find another way? So instead of having Insta or Snapchat or whatever, they'll do it through a game that has a chat feature.
Yeah,
I mean, they'll find another way.
Yeah, they'll find ways. And you know, I don't enforcement on this. I don't know how you're going to do it. To be honest with you.
You can't.
And you know, the companies will comply by saying you know. Indicate that you are more 16 or older by clicking this box.
Yeah,
you know, type thing.
Yeah, you've seen that. Yeah, you go. You must be 18 to enter this website.
Right.
Well, so is there someone checking on this?
Yeah.
Because if I click a box, all of a sudden I'm 18, whether
right.
I am or not.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess when you fill out a profile, if you're less than 16, it'll limit your exposure, whatever it is. I don't know. I see enforcement as a big issue, but I'm all for it. To be honest with you. Absolutely all for it.
So Dr. Blodgett is going to be on Wednesday. And one of the things he always talks about, it used to be, you know, when he was new at the job, it was don't eat this, don't eat that. Now it's only eat this in moderation. And I'm not saying that they've given up, but I am kind of implying or inferring that maybe the medical establishment, you know, guys with ethics like David Blodgett have said, I'm never going to get people to stop eating Twinkies or whatever it is, drinking soda pop. But if I can at least get them to slow down on it.
Or move more, you know, out. And I think the part of the social media issue for children is that it's replacing what should be physical activity.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, instead of going out and playing basketball with the buddies or even, you know, the summertime. You know, the kids in my neighborhood play ride the bike or play kick the can or whatever.
What they call them, night games.
Night games, yeah. You know, instead of doing stuff like that, we're in front of a screen. And so it's no wonder that, you know, it's hampering natural development. And it is a big issue. When you stop and look at, I watch YouTube video too much because I'm a victim of this problem.
But
you can watch, you know, videos of the kids in the 70s, you know, and they're all skinny.
Yeah.
You know, sure. And you look at kids now and they're not right there.
I wonder if how big the problem was in Australia, if they were getting that too. They were getting obese children.
Probably.
I was in Europe this summer. I didn't see a lot of obese people. In fact, the only obese people I saw were us tourists.
Tourists, yeah.
Americans. From America. or even England. Actually, there were England has people got a little paunchy too. Yeah. But I was in, you know, I was in Amsterdam, and I'm like, I'm looking around, I'm like, where's the fat people? There are no fat people in Amsterdam, and you know, and Germany and Switzerland, the same thing. There weren't a lot of big people. They were all thin, and you know, I mean, part of it was they ride. I mean, their main mode of transportation in Amsterdam was bicycles.
Bicycles, yeah,
by far. They, you know, and a lot of walking and a lot of bicycling, and that's what you did. But at the same time, I'm like, man, do they not have this? Is social media not gotten the grips on them, or are they just a little bit behind us? I don't know.
Hard to say. You know, I would say the bicycle and the diet, you know.
Yeah.
Again, it really comes down to that diet and exercise.
You know, in Strasbourg, France, there was a bakery on every corner. You know how you go to New Jersey, there's a pizza place on every corner. Yeah. You go to Strasbourg, France, there's a bakery on every corner.
Right.
And it's not a bakery with some donuts in front. I mean, there is every kind of pastry your brain can imagine is there.
You know what's weird? Like last summer, I went to my wife and I went on a cruise for 10 days in the Greek islands, and I actually lost a little bit of weight on the cruise.
Really?
Now, the first couple of days, you got that all-you-can-eat buffet thing going on.
Yeah.
And so I just go in and you just stack it up.
Yeah.
But, like, by day five, I'm like, just get a little bit of here, a little bit there, you know.
You find your favorite.
And then we're getting off the boat, and we're hiking all over these islands and whatever. We're walking a lot.
That's how we were in Europe.
And I wasn't just pounding the calories at the end of the day. I was eating a little bit, you know.
Yeah,
it actually worked out.
I kind of felt like the first, like you were saying, the first part of the cruise, I was like, calorie zero because I was walking a lot and eating a lot.
Yeah.
And then later in the cruise, I stopped eating as much, but I was still walking.
Right.
So I was actually net calorie. I was actually, down. So that's okay. And, I mean, people criticize cruises and say you're going to gain weight, but if you do it right, if you go on enough.
Well, if you get off the boat and you walk around and you do your thing, go do your sightseeing. I mean, you really don't have a car. So, you know, you're going to walk or maybe take a bus. And so you know, you're excited and heart rate's up and, you know, so stuff's going on.
So do you see any kind of this? I mean, Facebook's been around for how long now? 15 years?
Something like that,
Do you see any of these social medias going away?
No. No, never.
You think they're here to stay?
Yeah.
But you think they're going to be adults only?
Well, the only thing is something could replace it with something better, whatever that is. Like MySpace isn't around anymore.
MySpace was big, yeah.
And Facebook kind of killed MySpace, so.
I don't know if people remember this. There was a chat feature. You could chat with anyone around the world in a program called ICQ. ICQ, which is a kind of a play on words, but it was the letters ICQ.
Yeah.
And I remember, gosh, it's been, this was 25 years ago. My brother's like, hey, you should download on your computer ICQ, and then we can chat with each other. He was in Arizona, I was here, and that was.
Well, they have an app now that is called WhatsApp.
WhatsApp,
And you can share videos. It's actually easier than texting an email. I can't share emails, or rather videos, through email off my phone as easily with email, like Gmail, that I can with WhatsApp. WhatsApp really works well. And my wife uses it for her family in Mexico, and they're all on it, and it's free.
Well, we're not endorsing WhatsApp, but we are saying if you need an easier way to communicate.
They do video calls all the time.
Yeah.
They're like five at a time on the video call.
Yeah. We FaceTime with our grandbabies.
The kids out of the house. Yeah. Give them a ball for Christmas.
Get out and play. Jack Lancaster here about every other week, and we're lucky to have him. Jack, thanks for coming on.
Glad to be here. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. Get some rest, will you? You shouldn't work all weekend.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Tomorrow, Marianne Hamilton. Wednesday, Dr. Blodgett. Thursday, scheduled to be on the show is Michelle Randall. We'll see if she comes. We'll talk to you later.